That's why they're doing it now. That's why they send billions of dollars on satellite outreaches. Because they're going to defy what they call this God. They don't even know Yahweh. And he sits there, lifted high, and he looks low and says, boy, you haven't even gotten to the bottom of my foot. He just looks at him. He said, what a wicked thing. So you're wicked, your hearts are corrupt, you're foul. There are things I didn't intend for you to touch. There are things I never wanted you to mess with. There are things that Yahweh never intended for man to do. I believe that. He made him, he put him in a garden. I believe he meant for him to work there. He never intended for us to do some of the things we do. We become lethargic and lazy and wicked. We feed our flesh all the time. He never intended for that. I don't believe that. I truly don't believe that. It's just only when man began to remove beyond that, then sin overtook him. And every wicked, imaginable thing he could thought of, he did that. That's why he said, when they began to build that tower to Babel, he said, if I don't do something to confound this language, what he has put in his heart, nothing will keep him from doing that. And man today, what he has put in his heart, nothing is going to stop him from doing that. Nothing at all. Nothing, nothing, nothing. He's going to make him a man. He's going to do all he can to make him a man. He's going to harvest limbs and things like that. He's going to do all he can to do those kinds of things. Sure he is. And he's going to do it. He's going to defy Yahweh. Yahweh said, you lay hands on the sick, you pray for them. You have to defy that. It's your righteousness in the land. That's why you don't have much of that today. Sure he did. Don't tell me Yahweh intend for you. You that say you have faith. And you to go to someone, a man that's a homosexual. And you say that's a gift of Yahweh. And he's going to cut you open. You tell me that's not the Father. You are a fool. If there's a fool. Or they always say, well, we're Christian doctors. Well, they're all of the spirit of Eclipius then. Eclipius. Same spirit. Where's the faith? Yeah, they got faith for a car. To get credit for that. You don't even have to have credit for that today. They have faith for a house. But they don't have faith to live right. They don't have faith to trust Yahweh. They're hooked on drugs to transform their ability to think and to function righteously. Don't tell them that's of Yahweh. He never intended for man to do that. It's a wickedness. One of the most powerful conglomerates in the world today. Sorcery. Cunning. Changing the features. Making them look young. All of that, you tell me that's of the Father. Lies from hell. Some pervert to lay his hands on you. Cut you open and to practice some kind of a procedure. Where's the death? Well, where's passions in the sight of Yahweh? It's the death of his saints. It's a wicked world they want to live. For me to live as Messiah. For me to die is gain. I'm gain if I die. They have no faith to live and they don't have faith to die. They're full of sin. They're full of wickedness. You don't know the power of Yahweh. Oh, Jesus healed. Okay, if your Jesus healed, then where's the power? You said greater works than these that I do, you shall do. Where is it? They have no faith. Oh, I just believe if I have faith, I just say, Father, in the mighty name of your sure Messiah, thine healing power. Hallelujah. That's it. This is a wicked and an adulterous generation. They're seeking after one thing, and that's a sign. That's all they want. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As he was in the belly of the whale, the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. That's the only sign you're going to get. Nothing else. Nothing else. The skies are not going to turn red for you. When they turn red, you better run. Hide thyself until the indignation of Yahweh pass over. Well, we're going to be raptured up lies. You know where Scripture where it tells you that. That's a total fabrication of lies. Isn't that a shame that we say we love God. We know Jesus. We love the Lord. And yet the least of the try of this wicked America can't do anything. We've had so much. Cars by the thousand. Homes. Air conditions. Buildings comfortable, and yet we can't even go through one little trial for his name's sake. Well, all the apostles did. There were martyrdom. They read they read Hebrews 11. They like that, but yet they don't concentrate on what things they went through to ascertain that never faith.
This is a wicked generation. It's a very religious generation. You must understand that religion is just simply worship of some god or gods. And America has a multiplicity of gods in this nation. All the Baptists don't get along. All the Pentecostals don't get along. Oh, nothing gets along today. Why? Because there's no pure love. That trash they call love, that's not love. And we see each other on the whole houses tomorrow. I love you, sister. Like. It takes a little love to kind of tolerate one another every day. Man married to a woman, he says he loves her. They have many disagreements, don't they? See, that's love. It's long-suffering. And they don't suffer long with each other. Of course, they will call us in a cult. Because we try to perfect that love. It takes some work, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Showing you how much sin's in you. Sure does. It's a covetous generation. It's a very wicked. Do not covet. That's what it is. It covets everything. It's no love for Yahweh. So we must begin to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For broad, he says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that will sincerely find that path. Few that find it. No one looks in the narrow place. They look at the broad place. When you lose something, you don't look in the little narrow place because it takes a meticulous type of observance. You have to take time. The broad way, you look in the living room and say, I knew I put it there somewhere. Where? Well, look at the little narrow place where you have to get down on your knees, maybe. You have to crawl and look behind the couch. You don't want to do that. So we must strive with all that is within us. And everything that hindered us from moving into that spiritual realm, we need to lay it aside. And you began with your flesh, with the filthiness of your flesh, with the filthiness of your spirit. You cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and you perfect the laws of Yahweh in this heart whereby He has written them that you will abide Him, oblige Him to do what He tells you. So you got to strive, saints. And this is not a nation, we're not truly striving here. Hallelujah. You're not striving. When a man strives to do something, he exerts everything that is in him. He does. He doesn't hold back that last little bit thinking that he can use that later on. He strives. That's what he does. He exerts every portion of his energy because he's not certain that he's going to make it to that distance. So you strive, you use everything that is in you. You use everything. Everything that is in you, you exercise that. You exercise it. Have you ever gone out to walk or went running? You began to run after about half a mile. The old body says all the time, stop. Stop. Because it is a very corrupt thing. The flesh is corrupt. That's it. Everything it does is soul's corruption. The body says stop. But yet that's something that said, go on. The conscience say, go on. Why? Because it knows that it produced something there. First of all, it produces strength of constitution and will. It doesn't allow the flesh to rule over you. You operate from a spiritual realm. How about there's a law of the spirit that rules? And no flesh say stop. You say, nah, I can go just a little farther. But you have to strive. Then it says stop there. You say, nah, I can take it a little farther. Stop now, I'll be taking a little farther. And that's what we must do. We must strive. With every exhortation of energy and desire, we must press without letting anything stop us. Not even your flesh. Not even your will. Not even your desire. You can't let that stop you. And today we let everything stop us. Wives, husbands, children, sons and daughters. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. That's the way we can say we love Yahweh. Or quote, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. And yet not do what he says. For some reason we think that he means for us to do 10% of what he says. Not the truth. He means for us to do all things. It says the Messiah pleased not himself, but he did all things to please the Father. He did not try to please himself. That's why when Satan the devil offered him the kingdoms and all the things of the world, he offered him all that. He said, all this and the beauty and the splendor of it will I give unto you. Just one thing I require. Just make it authentic that I am God. Bow down and worship me. Do that. And Messiah says, get thee hence behind me, devil. For it is written For it is written. It is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh, and him only shall you worship. Well, where was that written? It wasn't written in no new covenant. It was written in the Torah. It was written in the law of prophets, and the prophets of Moshe, and the prophets, and the Psalms of David. That's where it's written. That's where he quoted from. He did not come with some kind of new doctrine. No. He came to bring the spiritual light of the doctrine. Why then do you have a book that says only new then? If the old is no good, just discard it. You know, he always saved me many years ago. That's the first thing he was told to me. Sister Roberts, her grandfather said to her, son, you don't need the Old Testament. Just throw it away. I couldn't understand that one. It's, why you don't need that? Yet I would read things out of there that would just it was so profound. Then when I was seeing in the New Testament, I saw a witness there. And most of my preaching in the early here, that's all I preached out of the Old Testament. I recall a man said to me, he said, you know, I just can't preach from the Old Testament. Well, it's the same book. How can you not preach from it? And so they will go to the Old Covenant or the Torah, the Tanakh, and they will get all the things that talks about blessings. Yes, they will. You want the blessings of Abraham? I tell you what you need to do. You need to do this. They'll bring all that out. And yet they never show you the obediences of Abraham unto Yahweh, that he was willing to sacrifice his seed, the seed of birth and longevity, where the prosperity was in that seed. They will tell you that. He's willing to give up it all. Sure they will. You know, the scripture said that place the Messiah did. He cannot do mighty works. It says in one place that he will lay his hands on a few sick folks and heal them. And yet they believe in the healing, but yet they don't trust the healing. The seniors need their drugs today. What a statement. That cringe every time I hear that. We got to have our drugs, and yet they raise hell with their sons and daughters with their own drugs. The seniors need their drugs. You got all these old folks together who won't pray. They hoard them together in these high rise. Take all the monies out. They don't call that a cult. They take every nickel. If she was in some kind of a nursery home and she was getting $6,000 a month, they would take every nickel. They would take that for them to take care of you. You understand? They would. And they would get everything they could from the government, too. You hear me? And so they don't teach them how to pray and intercede and travail. They sit there all day and watch television soap operas, fill their minds with filth and sin. As the old preacher would say, I'm preaching. Whether you can appreciate that or not. And they sit there and fill their minds with all kinds of filth of the world. They become morbid, full of death. They feed them with death, and they keep the drugs in them to sustain the physical body. They're dead. No life. I don't care what kind of witnessing you go. You can witness all you want to. You're not going to win one soul. He that is wise wins his souls. And Yahweh will show you what souls that he intends to win. As he did on the day of Pentecost, he added daily unto the assembly such as should be saved. All shouldn't be saved. He added. This is not the work of man, saint. This is the work of the Father. That's why he sent the Son to show you this is my work here. I've allowed Satan for 6,000 years to rule. Now it's coming to an end. I'm going to do a mighty work. And you're going to know it's me. And it's not going to be, isn't that amazing? Because they named all the other gods in scripture. Moloch, Molcom, Ashtaroth. And yet the Yahweh of creation, why don't they name him? And they give him all names. But yet he has no name. Even if he's a god, what is his name? Why he has no name, and yet Moloch has one. And Molcom, Ashtaroth, the god of the Zidonians. They all have names. And yet the Father has no name. Somewhere, our theologians have missed the mark. And we as a people, we have not been faithful unto the Father like we should. Because we truly haven't loved him. And if we would just be honest with ourselves, we can say, they say they love me with their mouths and their lips. They speak great words of accolades. He said, but their hearts are far from me. You can tell someone you love them all you want to. That doesn't mean a nickel with the hogs meat. As Evangel Hall will always say to us, he said, love is more than just words or expressed verbiage. There's an action to love. Folks say they love, they don't love. I hear folks say that, I say, okay, I'll leave it alone. I don't, because I know what love. Yahweh loves. And his love is not one that loves this one more than he loves that one. It's just love. It doesn't love this son more than he loves that son. Tell me, which son Yahweh loves the most, your son or my son? Which one? Which daughter he loves the most? Now, if you have the love of Yahweh in your heart, who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to pray for? Tell me. There's no difference in his love. He said for the husband to love the wife as he loved the assembly, the house. As Yahweh loved the assembly, it says as Messiah loved the church, he commands the husbands to love their wives. That's what he said. And then he says for us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And a man ought to love his wife as he loved himself. Now show me the separation of love. How is love any different if it's love? It's just love. Yet we commodionize love. We got love for this, for my family. We got love for my 10 folks. And you over there, maybe I can show a little something. That's not the pure love of Yahweh. He doesn't love one black or white. He loves what he's done. That's just it. That's it. And for us to say that love has different components of love, it's not so. Love is just love. It's just love. And that's why there are no profound gifts operating in the assembly today, because every gift of Yahweh works off love. It doesn't work off this trash that we call love. That's not love. It truly isn't. It isn't. But Yahweh is love. That's what he is. He is. And when you love him with everything, he will put the love in there for your brothers, because the way he loves you, he loves that one the same way. So if you love him with all your heart, you let him dispense love, it'll be righteous love. And we don't do that today. It's just a folly. We love the ones we're with. As the song went like that. Love the one you're with. That's not how Yahweh works. And that's the truth. You all don't have to love him. That's all right. That's fine by me. I've been hated. He said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. So I don't mind being hated. That I don't mind. I truly don't mind that. I don't mind men disliking me. My wife has said that to me over the years. I don't like you. That's all right. So I don't mind that. You have said you don't like me, so that's all right. I have no compunction with that. Period. I believe what Scripture says. We have to obey Scripture. Turn quickly to the 22nd chapter of the same book. Great wedding feast. This is a tremendous revelation of what things that shall transpire for this great feast that shall come to pass. It says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, when the wedding feast was ready, but those that were invited, the Scripture said they were not worthy. Chapter 22, verse 9. Chapter 22, verse 9. And so those that had been invited for the great feast, they were not even worthy to come, because they had not done those things that were right before Yahweh. The Scripture says, Messiah said, go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall find now, he said, you invite them to the marriage. Tell them they have an invitation. Tell them they are invited. Now listen, do you hear that? He said, they tell them that they are invited. So those servants, they went out into the highway, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, that's all they were furnished with, guests. See, just guests. It was furnished with guests. He said he found those that were bad and good. That's where he found us. You had your own goodness, your own self-righteousness. He says in verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not the wedding garment on. He never had it on his pride. He didn't have the pure desire of Yahweh. He said, you shouldn't be here. They should not have brought you in this place. And he said unto him, he said, friend, how did you get in here without the proper garment on? How did you get in here without the wedding garment on? And the Scripture said he was speechless. He couldn't say. He didn't know what to say. And so he's going to ask that question. How did you get in here without the proper wedding garment? And they won't be able to answer. Then said the king to the servant, he said, first of all, he said, you bind him hand and foot. You take him away and you cast him into outer darkness. He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, I want to tell you something, servant. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Few are elected. Few are the called, the faithful, and the chosen of Yahweh. He said, few are chosen.
Well, Pastor Roberts, that doesn't give us description of few. Well, the scripture tells us about the gifts of the talents. He gave one 5, one 3, and the other one what? How many? 1. And he said unto all of them, except the one with 1, he called him a slothful and a wicked servant. That's what he called him. He said, you know that I'm an austere man. You know I'm tough. He said, you should have taken that and put it to usury. If nothing else, just made what the usury would have made. He said to the 5, because he brought 5. He said, you're good and a faithful servant. He said, because you've been faithful over a few things. Just a few things. He said, I'm going to make you rule over many things. Just because you're faithful over a few things. And folks are not faithful over a few things today. They're not faithful. Cleansing themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfected holiness in the sight of Yahweh. They're not faithful. He said to the woman 3, he said, because you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Because we've been faithful in a few things. So he doesn't give us much to do. No, he doesn't. But he gives us much in the way that we obey what he tells us to do. And we must obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There's nothing like obedience, saints. And this is a generation that is not obedient. It's a very rebellious, wicked, corrupt generation. And you will not even hear those kinds of expressions used today. I recall one day, 20 years ago, hearing Richard Roberts say this. Oh, I will not tell the folks about their sins. They don't need to know that. My, how is that? How can you do that, man? They don't even mention sin in most of these whorehouses today. They don't. They don't call them sinners anymore. They just call them unchurched. That's the expression. You that are unchurched, if you're looking for a church, come to our place. My. That's not how Yahweh did it. He said that there's a filthy one right there. His name is David. David who? Roberts. I'm going to add him to this house. He such should be saved. And I'll save him. No, it wasn't because of my mother's prayer. It wasn't because of your mother's prayer. You weren't saved that way. Before Jeremiah was ever formed in the bed of his mother's womb, Yahweh knew him. So you weren't saved because someone was praying for you. You were saved because it was the ordination, preordained will of the Father. That's why you were saved. That's why Messiah said, all you've given me, I've lost none except one, the one that was made for hell, the son of perdition. So you weren't saved because someone was praying for you. No, you weren't saved that way. Mother in sin, daddy in sin, in the religious ways, that didn't save you. And you haven't prayed no salvation on anyone. No, you haven't. Not one bit at all. No. You haven't prayed no salvation on anyone. He always saves. And he knows who he's going to save, too. Sure he does. You want to save your mama, your aunt, your uncles, all your wicked kinfolks? Well, what about mine? Why don't you pray for mine? Why don't you pray for your neighbor's kinfolk? Why don't you pray for the one across the road there? And the one you don't know. Why don't you pray for them? Why don't you do that? Besides, I pray not for the world. He said, just pray for these. But that's in New Testament, they say now. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because we're an ignorant people. We don't know what Scripture says. And we don't want to know what Scripture says. So that's why they tell you find your church of your choice. So you find a place that it appeases you and makes you feel comfortable. Well, Yahweh never intended for you to feel comfortable. He intended for your flesh to be cut. He intended for everything about you to be revealed. Your corruption, your folly, your foolishness, your sin, your corruption. He doesn't intend for you to sit in his presence to be comfortable. You tell me that if you sat in the presence of Mr. Bush, our president, that you would not check yourself all the time to make sure you're sitting properly, your hand, or if you sit down to eat, you want to make sure you do things properly. Well, what about him? What about the Father? We're just a wicked people. You tell me if you meet Mr. Bush, you don't tell me that would be some kind of a little trepidation, a little fear. Yes, it would. I said, what about the Father? You tell me you would be embarrassed if you went into the White House and sat down for dinner and you did not know the proper utensils to eat with. You would feel embarrassed. You would almost feel like a heathen. Yes, you would. And so you would want to understand the protocol of the White House. So you would ask someone, how do I do? What is this fork for? Which one is the fish fork? Which one is the soup spoon? Or which one is the main course fork? You want to know those things. Sure you would. Yes, you would. You go get your finest suit and put it on. You dress up your best. Certainly, Mr. Bush came here. I made sure the grass is mowed, place is clean. Maybe fry some chicken, see what he likes. I know he doesn't like broccoli, so I certainly wouldn't cook no broccoli for him. So we'll cook a good meal here. Sit down. Eat. Have no problem with that. Make sure the place is tidy. Make sure everything is in place properly, in place. Sure I would. If you call me today and say, "Preach, I heard about you. I'm coming to visit." I'll say, "Well, you got to let me know when you're coming. Tell me the date. So we can be prepared." Sure. And so when the Father comes, he wants to come down and sup with you. When there are two or three gathered in his name, there shall he be in the midst also. He'll come down and sup with you. So you don't sense the fear of Yahweh. Something is wrong. Because there's no reverence in this nation for him. And we have taken this trash and taught the other world that too. No reverence for the Father. None whatsoever. And that's the truth. Only a few is going to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. It says in John chapter 6. I want to read this. I know what it says. Yokohana, John chapter 6. I want to start at a verse here. John chapter 6 and verse 41. It says this. Yokohana 6 verse 41. Do your dens or the Jews then murmured at him? Because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Yahshua, the son of Yosef, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, 'I came down from heaven,' or 'I've been sent by the Father?" Yahshua therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourself." Why do you do that? Why do you murmur? He said, "I want to tell you something." Look what he says now. Can you read that? We're all intelligent enough to read that. He says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." You can't even come unto to Messiah unless Almighty Yahweh draw you unto the witness of that hope. You can't even. He said, "No man." And he means what he says. He is the one that draws every man. He said, "You can't even come unto me unless the Father draw me." He said, "And I will, as the Father raised me up, I will raise him up in the last day." Then he goes to the Father in verse 45. Look what he says. This is the key here. "It is written." In what? The prophets. He said, "It is written in the prophets." So he could not denounce the Torah. No, he couldn't. The Tanakh, he could not change. He said, "It is written in the prophets. And they shall be all taught." See, it says in the authorized edition, taught of God, doesn't it? "They shall all be taught of Yahweh." He said, "Every man therefore that hath heard and have learned of who?" Have learned of who? Have learned of who? He said, "I've learned of the Father." Do what? So you got to learn of the Father before you can even come to him. That's what it says. He spoke that out of his mouth. And he tells the truth, he's not. He said, "Man, I've learned of the Father." And so this religious world tells you today, you don't go back to the Torah or the Tanakh. No, you must go back there and start. You don't start at the end of the book to get a revelation of the book. You start at the beginning. So we must learn of the Father. We must learn of the Father, saints. Messiah came to do the will of the Father. Everything he did, he came to please the Father. That's what he came to do, saints. He did not come to do his own will. He came to please the Father. He said, "Every man has learned of the Father that know the Father. He comes to me." Well, that was for them. So what he says wasn't for us. I want to know who my Father is. If a man doesn't know his Father, then he's a bastard. When a man is born out of wedlock, he's a bastard child. He's born in bastardom. That's the truth. Now, you can get offended at that expression, but that's the truth. That's what he's born of.
So every man that learned of the Father, he said, comes to him because he knows that the witness is true. He has confidence in the witness. Verse 46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of Yahweh, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You? Why? He said, I'm the bread of life. Verse 49, he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. He said, this is the bread which Yahweh has sent from heaven, and man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the creation of Yahweh of the world. Then the Yahdims, the Jews, they strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Messiah said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of my flesh, the Son of Man. The Son of Man now. And drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eat my flesh and drink of my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He said, and as the living Father. He said, I want you to know who sent me hath sent me. Now that's what the Father did. He sent him. He said, and I live by. He said, I live by the laws of the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Well, what? It's your witness. Well, I came to make known the Father, that you may know whom Yahweh is. To who? The elect, the faithful few of Yahweh. Every man is not going to know this truth. No more than they did when Moshe spoke. They derided him. They mocked him. They did not believe that he was a man of Yahweh. They mocked him. They mocked Messiah. Saul. Bartholomew. Timothy. Those men suffered mortal deaths. They were not accepted by the nations of the people. Show me! But Stephen said to those Yahdim, he said, you are some wicked folks. He said, you are stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. You do always resist the kudus roar just like your pappy. When he said that to them wicked folks, they stopped their ears. He ran on that mortal man full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of the anointing. And they ran on that man and they began to bite him like a pack of dogs. Stoned him to death because he told them of their wicked sins. And that's the way America is. She's full of pride. Nobody tells me. I'm my own God. I'm a God unto myself. What can you tell me? I'm rich. I have much. I'm going to tear down these small barns. I'm going to build more. You always say, thy fool, thy soul is required of you this night. Now who shall share those goods that you're laying up? Who's going to share? America's the God of the world. That's why everybody wants to come here. Because they think this is the planet, or this is the nation of the God. To fulfill their lust. And she's going to go down. They're going to cast their gold into the streets. The silver is not going to be worth anything. Well, I don't believe it's going to happen. I know you don't. I know this nation doesn't. She doesn't believe anything is going to happen. Well, you are an eternal pessimist. No, I just tell the reality of truth. That's it. It's the truth. Our sons and daughters have been prostituted today. Their minds have been sold unto the bondage of gimmickry and things. They prostitute your sons and daughters. They prostitute them. Their minds are so filled with sorcery, they disobey, they disregard parents. They're unfaithful. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. The young daughters will sleep with any boy today. It makes no difference at all. The young boy, they have no honor for the young girls today. There's a slant to not to keep yourself pure and to be virtuous. They dress like little Jezebels. Holes in their pants and holes here. Tattoos, marks on their bodies. Satanic rituals. They're all doing it.
They're all doing it. They go to the whole house with a little short pants on up to here. Cut. You can see their belly button. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. Yahweh never intended for me as a preacher. Here it is, all these little girls dressed in the skimpy things out there in the pond, and I'm sitting there watching. That's not Yahweh. He never intended for that, brothers and sisters. He never intended me to take these little daughters to the beach and flaunt their little flesh, that the world look at them and lust and desire them because of some physical attributes. He never intended for you to do that. Never did he get that. That's why that was one thing that when Adam and Eve, when they ate, when they became their gods, they were ashamed because they knew they were naked. This is the only naked nation that flaunts nakedness. Why? Because the number one selling thing in America is pornography. Sells more than all the football teams, basketball, all the sporting venues in America. Pornography tops them. All the music industry, it tops all of that. That is what this nation is hooked on. We don't want to believe that about this nation. What they did in Iraq to those folks is because the nation is that way. You take little boys and girls that take sticks and they will sodomize animals and things like that. Say what you will, if you may. They've been taught by that wicked thing in their homes that these parents have given unto them to raise them in this pagan culture of America. It is wrong. It's none of Yahweh. Oh, they'll lie shot against the Harry Potters, but what about the rest of the Jenny Lopez and all of them, the Eddie Murphys that pollute the minds of your children? These are men of sorcery. These women are filled with sorcery. They bewitch because they betray lies and they act out lies to deceive the minds. That is a reality and it's something that is surreal. That's the truth. That's the truth. Say what you will. It's the truth. So they rape the minds today. And they're doing a good job raping the minds. I want to read this before I close today. Only a few is going to make it into the kingdom. Only a few. It's not going to be the masses of the population of the world. 6.5 billion people. 6 billion, 500 million. The census, population, in the world. Can I ask you all a question? I did a printout where it breaks down all the religions of the world and the amount of people that's in it. The Muslims claim 1 billion plus. Are they going into the kingdom? You're not going to transform any Muslim. Only Yahweh changes a man's heart. There are 1 billion Catholics. Fall down to the Hail Mary, the rosary beads. Are they going in? There are 1 billion Hindus. They have over 300 million gods. Are they going into the kingdom? In this tragedy we call Christianity, it is so pagan, it is so twisted, it is so messed up, you don't even know what is right and wrong today. That's why you need the Spirit. Now let no man deceive you. No man is going to deceive you. You got your agenda set. You're not going to let anyone change that. Look at who you are. That's the truth. No man can deceive me. I will not go into anything blind-hearted. You can see things. You can tell whether it's a major deception. Yes, you do. And folks do things because they know it's wrong, so they still do it. And that's the truth. The scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 12, he talks to a rebellious house. And this nation is a rebellious house. The people. I'm not talking about the ones that are wicked and lost. I'm talking about the ones that say they know the Father. And say they pray. Yet they don't do what he says. I tell you all, you go to the library, your students do a little research on the word Christmas. And Easter. Astar. And tell me if it's something constituted by Yahweh. All the rituals of his pagan. The Saint Nick, the Santa Claus. You will go past the honky-tonks. You go by where they're rapping and skinning their backsides. They all celebrate Christmas. Sure they are. That ought to show you the pagan deserve it. They love it. The Muslims celebrate Christmas. Were they showing that reverence unto our Lord and Savior? They are. Huh. Isn't that amazing? Because when Messiah went to the cross, they all forsook him. Even the apostles. You know, careful, he won't go far back from saying, I ain't messed with this thing. You tell me they love him? No, our hope is in the burial, the death, and the resurrection. Our hope is in the resurrection.
If he didn't get up, then everything he said was a total fabrication. It's just flat out lies. So the birth means nothing. It's the resurrection. That's all that counts. He got up. It says in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 15. I want to read this before we close a few scripture verses. It says in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 15. As he talked to a rebellious house, he said, "You are a house, you have ear, but you cannot hear, but you refuse to hear. You say eyes to see, but you refuse to see." And he says in verse 15, "And they shall know that I am." What does it say in the authorized version? What does it say? I am who? I am the Lord. Well, what Lord is he? The Lord of London? The drug Lord? Tell me, what Lord is he? Come on, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, people. Just get a dictionary and look those words up. You all should have a good dictionary when you study anyway. See what he said? What Lord is he? Lord Majesty? Tell me, they spell that capital. Tell me, what Lord is he? Well, let it be he's a Lord. What is his name then? Who is this one? Who is he talking about? Who is Ezekiel talking about? Good, you get quiet. Good. "And they shall know that I am Yahweh, when I shall scatter them amongst the nation and disperse them in the countries." Why? He said, but this is what I'm going to do. Look what he says in verse 16. He said, "But I will leave a few men of them," not many, but a few of them, "from the sword and from famine and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abomination amongst the heathen, whether they come." He said, I'm going to leave a few. "That they may let the heathens know that I'm wicked. I'm in this position because I have rebelled against the Father." Who? What Father? Your way. "The mighty Creator that made you and your God." He said, "I'm going to leave a few men." Not boys, men. What is a man? Scripture tells us what a man is. He made man. And he breathed into him and he became a living soul. It says that Yahweh is the head of Messiah. And Messiah is the head of man. So that's a man. When he has the spirit of Yahweh, that's a man. These things, they call themselves men today. They're not men. They're good boys. They're dead. Twice dead. They have no life in them at all. That's the truth. He said, "But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abomination amongst the heathen, whether they come. And they shall know that I am who?" Well, what Lord, saints? Come on. It says God or Lord. Lord. Well, who is this one that's doing all these mighty works? But Elijah, he said, "You pray unto Baal." When they call on Baal, they knew exactly what they were calling on. He said, "I'm going to call on Almighty Yahweh. You call on your gods." He said, what's wrong with Baal? Is he asleep? They call on Ashtaroth, Dagon, the god of the Egyptians. Then who is this one that made them? I want to know what his name is. And Messiah prayed to him. He said, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I want to know his name. That's the great call we need to search out. He has a name. He is not Lord of God. They're pagan titles. The word God came from good God. It's a German word. It's etymology. It has nothing to do with the magnificent power of Yahweh. Nothing. Nothing. And most men that have gone to theological seminaries, they'll tell you that. They know. But they can't preach that in the Baptist way or the Pentecostal. Because it will not bring in the finance and the funds. That's the truth, saints. They can't tell the folks. They hold back the truth in unrighteousness. There are men that literally hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Search the scriptures then. Go every place where the scripture talks about a name. And one of the first things he did in Genesis, it names the rivers, named the waters. Adam named the beast, gave Adam a name. You should be called Adam. He made a woman, called her Eve. Then who is this one that did all that? What's his name? His name is not Jesus. It cannot be deducted to be Jesus. It's your lie. Yah. The Son came in his Father's name. Yahuwah. The salvation of Yahweh. That's what it means. Not just salvation, but the salvation of Yahweh. That is right too, brother. Bless you. He says, "And they shall know that I am Yahweh." I am. Can I ask you a question? when Israel was in bondage 425 years in Egypt. Now, they were Yahweh's people. He didn't hear them because they were praying, "Come down, Father, and help us." He heard their cries because they were oppressed. That's why he heard them. That's what Scripture said. Because their slave masters were oppressing them. That's why he heard them. And he called Moshe and he said, "You're going to go. You're the Savior. You're going to deliver my people." And the first thing that Moshe said there in Egypt, Egyptology, there are thousands and millions of gods in Egyptology. He said, "They know all these gods. There's under every green bay tree. They're serving every kind of wicked spirit there is." He said, "When I go to these people and say to them that the mighty Creator said, let, you know, he's going to free you all. They're going to ask me, what is his name?" You think it actually means that he said that I am that I am? No, what he said to Moshe, he said, "I am who I am, Moshe." That's what it is. I am Yahweh. I am who I am. If that's his name, I am that I am. You better pray, "I am, help me. I am that I am, help me." You better pray unto the Father. You better pray to the Father. If Messiah taught us how to pray, you pray, "Our Father." He has always wanted us to know him as the Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You better find out the Father's name. You better pray the way he say pray too. That's the truth. He is the one that drew us unto Messiah. He said, "I'm going to put a hope here." There he is now. Look at him. That's right. He said, "That's the only hope you got in that piece of clay. That he has no comeliness or no beauty that anyone wants to look on him." He said, "But that's it right there. He's not masculine. He's not strong. He has no physique that is admired by the world." He said, "That's him. That same piece of clay. That's where the hope is. Right there. And he shall show you my excellence and the excellence of my knowledge and my truth. And you better believe him because he sent for me." That's the truth. That's the truth. I don't know what this whore has done to distort truth today. And her daughters perpetuate that. They do. That's what they do. They're under the same delusion. He meant when he said in the fourth commandment, "Remember the Shabbat and keep it holy." Yeah, look on your calendar. You can find out what the first day is, Sunday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the seventh day you rest. You rest. You cease from all your labor. This nation rebels against it. Every whole house in America, they don't even rest on tomorrow. He meant what he said. No, you look at your calendar, tell me the first day. Well, Jesus changed that. Lies! Messiah didn't change that. Go to the book of Acts. Messiah was dead after the book of Acts, wasn't he? Yeah, Luke wrote that. And so show me where Shaul did not go into the tabernacle on the Shabbat. They all worship on the Shabbat. He has not changed his laws. Come on, saint. This wicked world has changed. I wanted to read that scripture too. It was one that says that too. It says in Isaiah. Let me read this. Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24 verse 4. Look what it says. I like what it says. I like verse 3 too. But it says in verse 4. Isaiah 24 verse 4. It says, "The earth mourneth, and it fadeth away," or "fades away. And the world languisheth, and it fade away. And it calls the people a haughty people." Well, that's not according to my doctrine. I don't like that. They're haughty, they're arrogant, they're full of pride. A haughty people, Isaiah 24 verse 4. A haughty people. He said, "The people of the earth do languish. They're very weak and they're feeble." That's what that means, languish. A feeble people, they're weak people. He says, look at this now. He says, "The earth is also defiled." You know what that means? Corrupt. The earth is defiled, it is polluted, it is corrupt. He said, under, the reason it is defiled, under the inhabitants, to those that live thereof, because of the people living there. Why is it defiled? Well, it tells you right here, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and they have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse defiled the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. They are not going to be held guiltless. They're guilty. They're desolate. They are guilty. Their offense is acknowledged. They're guilty of it. He said, therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and fumed. Few are going to be left. They're burning to death. They're consumed with their lies and their sin. And there are few men left today, saint. There are few men that stand for truth. A few men, as he said to Ezekiel, he said, you go out to the city and you mark every man that cry and sigh for the wickedness and the sin that is in the nation. No one is crying about the sin. No one. That's why perverts can call themselves women, call themselves men. Men call themselves women. What an abominable thing when the anger against what a man doesn't know. He doesn't know he's a woman. He knows not what his gender is. And they ordained him as a bishop. Oh, and the rest of them, they just parade as homosexuals. They come in. These whole houses, when they began to swell with them great budgets, they don't care who comes. All they want to do is they see money and dollars. They don't care. All they want to do is build edifices. Facilities for flesh. You know, flaunt your flesh. Big swimming pool for everybody to come. That's wicked. I would never, y'all would give me $1 million. I would never do that. Swimming pool, you hear my wife half naked and your wife half naked. You looking at my wife, I'm looking at you. That's wicked. That's wicked. That's wrong. Get quiet. That's all right. I don't want to see my brother's wife. I don't want to see her nakedness. I don't want my nakedness to be seen for my brother's wife to see that. I don't want that. That's wrong. That's wrong. But then we all swimming together. Then they got a night for singers to swim. That's wicked. And the singers get together, the men in this, and the gals in their bikinis. And you tell me that's your way? Well, he don't look on the outside. He looks on the heart. That's what the homos say too then. That's what they say. You tell me the butch daggers, they walk, march in New York, San Francisco, London, in Russia, the gay pride day, dressing like perverts and beasts and bestiality. You tell me that Yahweh didn't see what was in their heart, the reason she dressed like a little Jezebel because her heart is wicked and corrupt. He dressed effeminate because he's that way. I won't stop preaching. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, yet Yahweh, he stayed by my side. So that's all right. Let me close with this last verse here. Hallelujah. Luke 13:23. I like that little story of Luke. I really do. I understand scripture value. I was sharing with Brother Allen and Brother Jason the other day. I sat with them for quite a bit of time and just talked. And I was telling them how that Pilgrim Progress, I really like that, you know. The story, it is a profound illustration of things. It really is. I really like that. It shows us you must strive to enter into that place. You must give up everything. I watched Ben die here. And I know Evangelist Warren loved his wife and his sons. But he couldn't take one of them with him. I know Brother Lindsay loved his wife and his children. He could not take a one. I know Brother Ray Robertson, when he died, he loved his wife. I forgot what he said. He said, I wasn't looking for a woman with any kind of beauty. I was looking at the heart. And he always gave me your mama. That's what he said. She had nothing to do with looks. Had nothing to do with physical attributes. It had to do with the heart. That's all. That's enough for me. That's enough. That's all right. I'd rather have a wife that has a sincere desire to please Yahweh than to have something that the world calls shake, rock, and cocoa bottle. I'd rather have that. That's submissive and obedient and love me. And will go, if I go to Egypt, she'll go if Yahweh sends me. If I have to sleep in a brush arbor, she'll sleep with me. That's the way it should be. So men and women today, they leave one, go get another one, say, well, that's it. It didn't work out. That's not righteous. Because of the hardness of your heart, Moshe suffered a writing of divorcement. So they just marry, remarry, marry, marry. That's the state of the spiritual state of this nation. Yahweh never intended for that now. I want to close here in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. I want to read this. May Yahweh bless you all and give you strength today. It says, and when Messiah, Luke 13:22, he went through the cities and villages teaching because he was going toward Jerusalem. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, He's a teacher or good man. He said, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, that's what he says now. He says, try to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and they shall not be able. And the question was asked, are there few that be saved? And he gives them a scenario. You better strive to enter in at the narrow place, where it's going to take you abandon everything about you and every hindrance that circumvent you from getting into the place that you can hear the trump of Yahweh. You must strive. When a man strives, he do all diligence. He put everything in it. He does. He said, you strive to enter in there because many shall seek to enter in and they shall not enter in. Verse 25. He said, for once, when once the ruler of the house is risen up, Yahweh is going to stand and has shut the door. See, he's going to shut the door, saints. He's going to shut the door. He said, he has shut the door, and ye began to stand without. Can I ask you a question? Did Noah close that ark door himself? Did he have a hand crank? Did he wind that thing up? Or did the Father shut the door? Yahweh shut that door. And they wail and they cry. The babies cried. They wept. Little babies like that. Mothers dying. No, that was an excruciating death. Vomiting. The nostrils filled with vomit. That's what you do when you swallow water wrong. It causes you to vomit. When he went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. When he said unto Dathan and Abiram and Korah. When they withstood Moshe. In order for them to get that curse out of the house. He opened up the earth and they all went to hell alive. He opened up the earth. And then all Israel, they began to weep and cry because they saw it wasn't planned. See, America and the nations of the world don't believe that. The banks in Russia today, they are crumbling. I don't care how much wealth you own in Russia. You can only get about 20,000 rubles a day, $345 max. I don't care if you got 10 billion or $10. That's all you can get out of the bank. And the world's economy is crumbling because of the greed and the lust of men. Their wickedness and their unselfishness. They're not satisfied. They're not thankful. This is a very unthankful generation. They're not grateful. The hearts are not satisfied with Yahweh. The ruler is going to rise up and shut the door. He's saying they're going to stand without. And they're going to begin to knock at the door saying, teacher, mighty one, good one, open up unto us and he shall answer and say unto you, I know not where you came from. You're not mine. Then shall they begin to say, we did eat with you and we drank with you in thy presence. And thou hast taught us in our own streets you were there. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. He said, who are you? He said, depart from me. All ye workers of iniquity, you fleshly consume idolatrous worshipers. You worship you. It's all about you. And you think about you. He said, you get away from me. Get away from me. He's going to say it like that. Get away. You wicked children of hell. You see the fire and the indignation of Yahweh. They don't believe that. Yet they like to tell them the stories of Noah and the flood. Like they like to tell the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet they don't understand the validity of it. A whole house coming out of Egypt and he killed them in the wilderness? Yes, he kills too. Fear not him that can just destroy your body, your flesh. He said, but fear him that can destroy both body, soul, you, and then put you in hell. Now that's the one you better fear. He said that, who sent the death angel over Israel? Did he not send that? Well, who caused the rain to come on the earth? And the fountains to break. Did not the Father do that? So he knows how he's a killing machine, all right? He's just not a murderer. He's a killing machine. Because if he murdered, he breaks his own law. That's not murder. He's not going to take the innocent's life. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, who told Israel that you go and you destroy every Canaanite? The Hivite. The Jebusite. Who told him to do that? Okay. Well, he's a different kind of God today. Well, Scripture says he's changed not. He's an almighty Yahweh. And I changed not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, I will destroy you. Just because of the promise I made to Abraham. He said, I won't do that. So he kills. Sure, he died. He's a man of war. And all warriors do kill. Hallelujah. They just don't murder. They see the innocent and say, don't butcher. Sure. He marks those that are his. He says in verse 28, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when they shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of Yahweh, and you yourself thrust out. Well, they want to say, well, that's for the Yahudim, that's for the Jews, that's not for us. We are a different breed. You better get on your faces. If he cut off the natural branches, you've just been engrafted in, my friend. You better watch your steps. That's the truth. We just been engrafted in. And he's still going to save Israel. He's going to save Israel. He has a remnant. He's going to save his people. Why? Because he promised something. He promised something to Abraham. He's going to draw them to the witness of his son. And they're going to say, sure, this is the Messiah. Sure, they're going to say that. Don't tell me you know what salvation was when you call yourself good saved. You didn't know nothing. You cried a little bit. So, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, you try to work your way from this and work your way from that. You didn't know. You had no knowledge of the truth. No, you didn't. You didn't even know what it was. He just saved you. Not because of the words you uttered out of your mouth. And don't tell me what it says in the book of Romans. I know that. You just need to study it and see what it says yourself. And who is he talking to? He's talking to his house. He didn't write this book for the stranger's mind. That's the truth. I close with this verse. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they shall sit down in the kingdom of Yahweh. And they're going to come from every nation of the world. Only a few. And they're going to sit down in his presence. And we're going to enjoy the ambience and the magnificence of his mighty power. We're going to sit before the great king and the creator of all things. His name is an everlasting name. His name never changed. We better find out his name. You can go to the libraries and find out all this information. We don't want to do that. We don't like doing that. We're lazy. That's the people of Yahweh. May he give you strength and peace. May he fill your heart with this anointing and bless you today. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. May encourage saints. I bless you all. Father, in all things, we bless you today. Bless your people. Give them great strength and peace. In Messiah's name, take them all down the road. Save for bless them all. In Messiah's name, we pray. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you all.